Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, 232 Birch. Well, before Steve Blackwell moved into 232 Birch, Steve had a childhood dotted with paranormal run-ins. Encounters that prove the existence of ghosts and spirits in our world as facts of life. As an adult, Steve and his future wife would begin their lives together at the address of 232 Birch, an address that would leave them wanting to better understand the spirits that cohabitate the world we share. Visits from a little ghost boy, strange noises, and unexplained happenings would lead Steve and his wife to a journey of paranormal discovery. Today on The Grave Talks, the story of Steve Blackwell and 232 Birch.
I had a few different experiences as a child growing up in a small town in Saskatchewan, up here in Canada. And at that time, of course, it was more of a, what I would, call a frightening experience, because I couldn't wrap my head around the paranormal at that time. I didn't understand that, perhaps this energy existed. And, when I started experiencing this type of energy, I almost assumed that everyone kind of had these things happen to them every once in a while. And, so I sort of brushed it off. I'd say I had three or four different things happen to me as a child that I definitely couldn't explain. And I really didn't have any other experiences until we moved into 232 Birch, which would have been in 1994. And at that time, and I'll be honest with you, Tony, we only had about 12 things happen to us in a 9-year period. It was very sporadic, but when this energy seemed to exist, it was really undeniable. My wife and I, as well as my children, who were very young at the time, all experienced this energy within our townhouse. And we even had friends come over that I found out later, after discussing my own experiences, that they said that there were many times that they were over at the house that they felt, a colder presence or kind of an uncomfortable EMF kind of frequency that seemed to resonate throughout the house. I had a closet upstairs in our children's nursery that always seemed to have a very cold air in it, and there was no vents or anything in it. And it just so happened to be that that was the closet that my son woke up in the middle of the night as a toddler, screaming and pointing at the closet and saying, "Tuki is in the closet. Tuki is in the closet."
And I want to get into some of those experiences in the house, and I wanted to have you recount them kind of chronologically as we get to it. Take us back, though, before we even get to more about the house, and take us into some of those experiences as a child. I know you said you only had like three or four, but what are some of the more standout ones out of those three or four that when you look back on, you go, I have no idea what that was?
Sure. And I'd have to tell you that probably the number one thing that stands out out of all the things that happened to me as a child is I was over at a friend's house. I was probably about six or 7 years old. And I was at a friend's house playing with those little green army men at the top of their staircase. And at the top of their stairs, they had a linen closet that directly pointed to the face of the stairs. And as I played away, that closet door very aggressively swung open. It was kind of a hinged one door frame, and it kind of blew open really quick. And, of course, I fell down a few stairs. It freaked me out so much that I didn't know how to explain it. And after that initial blow open of the closet, nothing else happened at that point. But we did do some investigation with getting the parents involved and so on, who confirmed that there's no you know, heating or cooling vents within that closet area. And so, you know, when I told them that this closet had swung open and even showed them as it was still open when I brought them to the spot, they found it hard to believe and actually told me that it was probably myself who opened that closet and was making up a story. And I never, you know, at that time dug into having a conversation with them because of my age about any, you know, energy that they may have experienced within their house. But that particular house, I had probably two or three strange experiences, the first one being the closet incident.
What were some of the other ones, if you want to touch on those briefly?
Yeah. I mean, there was a time when I was in the same house watching a movie with my friend. Of course, we're quite young. I lived right across the street at the time. And as we were watching a movie, we saw a large shadow kind of come across the face of the wall. And, you know, we couldn't quite explain where the shadow may have come from. And you know, immediately after we saw the shadow, the family's cat came running into the living room. And, you know, of course, we made the joke and said, well, you know, we must have saw that shadow. That must have been the cat. But it definitely had a human form to it. And it just it kind of just moved right across the wall. You know, the curtains in the living room were closed. We kind of debunked any possibility of there being some sort of reflection coming from the street area. And, you know, that happened probably 2 or 3 months after the closet experience. And then I can recall a couple months after that, I was out in their backyard camping in their tent trailer, which was in their back driveway. And we, my friend and I, we also had her brother there at the time. We can distinctly remember hearing a set of footsteps coming down the sidewalk towards the camper we were sleeping in. And it was very obvious that there were two people walking. There wasn't any communication. And it was funny because we were out in the camper telling each other ghost stories, of course. And this started happening. And when we poked our head out the door soon after the footsteps had passed, we opened the door and there was just one individual. He was actually walking as if he was intoxicated or drunk. But it was definitely a different sound, you know, when we heard him, or, you know, visualized him walking. It was a completely different sound that we had heard when he or they were approaching the camper itself. So, you know, those things were very much up in the air as to whether they were paranormal experiences or not. But I've kind of, you know, put them in the same bucket simply because it all seemed to take place at this particular property.
Sure. And when you had these things happen, I know you'd mentioned, you know, it was difficult to talk about something like this when you're a kid to an adult.
Yeah.
But what was the take on these sort of things from the parents? Were they just continually kind of brushing them off, rationalizing things? Or were you in an atmosphere where parents were somewhat accepting of the paranormal?
Yeah, no, and it wasn't. It was basically where they thought that, you know, these were kids being kids, and they were reporting things that, you know, was part of our imaginations, I would think. And so, you know, being a child at the time, I never really pressed into it or tried to, you know, prove what I had witnessed. So it basically disappeared you know, something that was a concern, but. I know that my friend, who is the same age as me, also experienced these things. And, you know, being the age that we were at, again, we were very ignorant as to what this energy, well, we didn't even realize it was an energy at the time. Of course, we just thought that this was a, you know, these were experiences that maybe everybody has every once in a while. And, you know, we had our stereotypical ghosts. Imaginations, you know, we at that time, a ghost to us was, you know, somebody who had a sheet over their head with eyes cut out, right? And so, experiencing this kind of energy for the first time, it was very difficult to wrap our heads around it at our age. And anytime we tried to, constitute this with the parents, they just brushed it off. It wasn't something that they found was even happening. And, you know, as I got more experienced and educated with the paranormal, I realized that energy may have been, very present at all times within their house, but they just may not have not been able to see it themselves.
Sure.
And that's when I started realizing that perhaps I didn't necessarily have a gift, but I think that I had a little bit of a broader spectrum when it came to allowing my mind to open up to seeing this kind of energy.
Sure. Kind of, I always say, like the 1 to 10 scale. There's ones and there's tens and there's everything in between, depending on what your sensitivity is. Just like sight and sound and all that. We're all at different levels as far as abilities. Okay. Well, it sounds like you had some perspective there as a child, on the paranormal. You had some experiences. It wasn't a foreign thing for you. And then as an adult, you get into this property at 232 Birch. Now, how did this begin with discovering this property and deciding to make it your home? Tell me that story.
Yeah, so my wife and I, or my girlfriend at the time, I guess, we were living in her little apartment. She had a one-bedroom apartment. I had moved away from home and decided to shack up with her. And we started our courtship was very good, and we had decided, we're going to be making some longer term plans. And so we decided, to get out of the rental game and buy our own place as a first house. At that time, we could only afford a townhouse. And so we put all of our money together. We moved into this house, and the very first time we walked into this property with the real estate agent, both my wife and I discussed it after the fact. We felt something in that house that was strange, but because we hadn't really had any experience since I was a child, it wasn't something that we've kind of put together mathematically as being a paranormal energy. But there were just certain things while we did our tour of the property that just didn't, I don't know, there was just a funny feeling you get, and I know that you could probably attest to kind of what that feeling is like, but we didn't think anything of it. We were really happy with the fact that we could afford this place and call it our own home, and it had the space available for it to start off our own family. So we bought the place in January 1994. And we stayed there for about 9 years until we decided to move away and come back to Alberta, Canada, which is where I grew up.
So when you get into the property, you have a few feelings here and there. But what was like the first sign to you that maybe there's something off here?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because probably the first sign that I thought things were off had absolutely nothing to do with the paranormal. And that was the fact that the current owner at the time, she had Elvis pictures all over her walls. Okay, and we thought, okay, well, that's okay. I was an Elvis fan. My father was an Elvis fan, and that was okay, except for the fact that she literally had probably 30 or 40 Elvis paintings and photographs just all smeared all over the house. And so we thought, well, that was a little strange to begin with, but paranormally, it was just an energy. When they took us up to show us, the realtor took us up to show us the spare bedroom, opened up the closets, that's the first time I experienced kind of an airflow coming from there, and I never thought anything of it. I assumed that there was probably some sort of a vent or something in the closet that was making that happen, but there was never any indication presented to us that the current owner had any paranormal experiences in there. And we had just decided to move in, and everything was very normal, I would say, until probably the second or third month that we were there when we had our first experience.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks. And then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.